I'm going to go up there, but I've got something I want to give to Pastor Vince, and I don't want him to have to climb the steps. He's getting a little elderly in these days. My name's Randy Bradley. I work for the association, and I am so glad that Ebenezer Welcome is a part of our association. I hadn't been here very long, and Vince and I were downtown Travelers Rest on the day of prayer, and I introduced Brother Vince as pastor of the new Ebenezer Welcome. You remember that, Brother Vince? He said, well, I didn't know we changed the name of our church. But I'm glad that you folks are part of the Three Rivers Association. God's doing some wonderful things. And for your support, the way you support us financially, the way you sent people, the way you pray for us, we don't take it for granted. And I don't take Brother Vince's friendship, Sister Kim's friendship for granted either. They started here a month before I started. I started in March of 2007, March the 17th to be exact. And that's when I started ministry as a director of missions of the North Greenville Association then, before we came together with Greer. And so we've had a friendship for 12 years. And it's just a joy to be able to come this morning and to be a part of what you folks are doing for Brother Vince and Sister Kim and showing them appreciation. And please always do that. Don't ever underestimate the power of positive words. Now, you know the power of negative words. And the sad thing is, as a pastor, you can have 10 people go by you, 9 will tell you something good. And that one person will say something that's not good. And you'll think about that one person rather than 9. That's just human nature. So I commend you for having this time when you're honoring Brother Ben and Sister Kim and telling them thank you for their 12 years. And that's not usual among Southern Baptists. Southern Baptist now, it's a little longer, but it's still less than 3 years, the average tenure. And you got a pastor that's been here 12 years. That shows two things. Shows that you as a church are loving your pastor and your wife, but it's also showing that the pastor and his wife are loving you. And I think people can tell that. I walk in this church, and not just because you got a beautiful building, but I just feel the love. I feel the oneness of spirit, and I thank the Lord for that. So I give God the praise. And before I preach, and I do want to give this to you, Brother Vince, you come on up here. Like I said, I didn't want you to have to walk upstairs there, get the huffing and puffing to distract people. But Brother Vince and I have been friends for a long time. This right here just simply says, awarded a certificate of recognition and appreciation for 12 years of faithful service as pastor of Ebenezer Welcome. You have been the hands, the feet, the voice, and the love of God. It's expressed in so many different ways. You've chosen to honor him as you served in his name. Thank you for your willingness to give of yourself and be used where God has placed you. And this is a recognition of the Three Rivers Baptist Association. So, Brother Vince, I love you. Congratulations, brother. Thank God bless you.
I pray that there's more than 12, brother. Maybe that you don't know something I don't know, that gift over there is a going away gift.
We'll talk about that after a little bit later, Brother Vince. That's right. But 12, the next one we'll give will be for 24 years. Amen. So what do you say when you get to preach in Vince Ganey's pulpit? What do you get to say? Well, you pray about it a lot. And as I was thinking about something, the title of a sermon has been preached probably more times than any of the title of a sermon being, Can God Draw a Straight Line with a Crooked Stick? And I hope many of us here this morning can say to the fact that one day we were crooked sticks, because you see, we're born that way, right? We're born sinners. We're born people that need to be redeemed. And I hope we can all come to a point where we say, you know, I was a crooked stick. I needed redemption. But then God came into my life and my heart and saved me, made me straight. This morning, as we look, I want you to look in your Bible, the book of Joshua, because we see something that's really pointed as we think about our lives here in this part of Greenville County. This part here, where everybody that welcomes located, I think there are men and women that live in these houses and all around through here. And I came here from Greer. I was in a church earlier in Greer this morning. As I came here, my GPS, you got to be careful with GPSs, right? They'll take you some kind of, you got to watch them. Now, my wife won't watch them. If it says go through that field, she'll go through the field because GPS said it. But I kind of watched it. And it took me some back roads from Greer here, and I saw some property I had never seen. And how beautiful those properties were. But you know, the thing that rung home in my mind as I saw all of that is the fact that there are people living in those houses. And I was praying and I was hoping, Lord, I hope these people know you as Savior, and I hope they have a relationship with you. Well, there's something that happened in the book of Joshua. God is using him, showing him how he can use and do great things through him if he would but only trust him. And I'm glad that God's still doing that to us today. So in Joshua's life, in the chapter 2, we see some things here. Joshua's sending a couple of guys in as spies to Jericho. They're wanting to get that city. They're wanting this hard, it's a big place, it's seemingly difficult. But he's told two men in verse 1, it says, Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, "Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Isaiah Grove to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, especially Jericho.' So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country.' So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, 'Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country.' Then the woman in verse 4 took the two men and hid them. So she said, 'Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from.' And as it happened, as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out." So that's the excuse that Rahab gave the men's police that came to her, because they had heard. See, they talked different. They acted different. When Vince and Kim and me and Karen were serving the Lord in another culture, all we had to do was speak, and people say, "You're not from around here, are you?" Well, those spies weren't from around there, and word got back to the king that they were there. That's how they knew they were there, the way they dressed, the way they spoke. And so when the king sent the police for Rahab, saying, "Rahab, turn them in." And this was a woman, when you think of Rahab, what's the one word you think of? Harlot, right? I'm glad our past don't have to define our future, but she was remembered for that, being a harlot, running a place of ill repute. And so as she goes, the king sent his men, and you would think she'd say, "Yes, sir, I want to stay on the good side of the law, and I don't want you guys to come down on me and shut down my establishment." And so you'd think that's what she'd say, but she said no. And while the men were there, she said the door is getting ready to be shut, and they went up toward the mountains. They went out. They just left. So she goes up in verse 8, and she talks to the two men that she had hidden. "Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, 'I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you have fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the kings of Amorites on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you bitterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath.'" You see, we forget sometimes when we try to have a burden to reach our community that God's going on before. See, God's come on before these two spies right here, and Rahab's letting them see. You see, she's there. What we know about her is she is a prostitute. She ran a house of ill repute. She was a sinner. She was a crooked stick, just like all of us. But at this point in her life, the defining factor in her life right now, she's looking for a change. And I'm glad for the men and women to come through that door there and that door there. They come into this church. They maybe sit under Brother Vincent's preaching for years, and they're thinking to their mind, "Can I change? Will I always be a crooked stick?" And this is a salvation story. I really believe that Rahab's wanting to change. And she's wondering, "What is it that I need to do?" The Bible tells us that God, before we even ask that question, it tells us in Ephesians 2, 8 and 10, it tells us, says, "For it is by grace that you've been saved," and grace that God works in our heart and lives through faith. "And this is not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. We're created in Christ Jesus' workmanship by his hand." So that's to say, just as Rahab right now, and you think about Rahab, her position, just as she has these two spies, she's got them hid up on top of her the roof of her home. She's right on the wall there. And she's got these two men hid. And you see, she's wanting to make a change. And I wonder this morning, if I'm talking to someone, someone's listening, you're saying, "Boy, I wish my life could change. Things aren't going well in my family, with my spouse, with my children. I just wish I could make a change. I just wish that the Lord would be able to come in and change me from darkness to light. And I know how that was because I was 18 years old when God came in to save me. I'd already graduated high school, going to work at a mechanic shop there in Spartanburg. And the very first day that I came in there, a guy asked if he could help me take my tools off the truck. He said, "Do you want me to help you?" I said, "Yeah." He helped me lower my tools, and then as he got the tools on the ground there, he said, "Randy, are you saved?" And I, for some reason, it infuriated me. And I said, "No, and I don't want to be saved." "Okay, not a problem." So I go inside, and there's a time clock, and I try to put my time card in. We don't have time clocks in Chesney, South Carolina. I didn't know how to work that thing. And so Olin came up. He said, "Young man, do you want me to help you? You want me to show you how to do that time clock?" I said, "If you don't mind." He showed me, and I put it in. And he said, "Do you go to church anywhere?" And I just blew up again. Is this a church or a workshop? It's crazy when you're living for Satan, when you're living in the world, the things you say, right? And he said, "That's okay." No, that's okay. And for a year, those two men, Olin and Stephen, prayed for me. They lived out Jesus in front of me for a year, almost to the date. And then I come to the point in my life I wanted to change, just like Rahab wanted to change right here. So I may be talking to somebody here this morning. You say, "I would love to change. I know I'm a crooked stick." Well, I got good news for you. God wants you to change. And the future he's got for you is just tremendous. Just as a sidebar to show God's grace, to show God's glory, to show God's wonder. Those two men, Olin and Steve, that I got so mad at there, a few years later, they were deacons in my first church where I was pastor. I wound up being their pastor. Isn't that crazy? Isn't God just saying, "You know, just follow me. I'll show you great and wondrous and powerful things." So I share with you this morning that if you're wanting to draw closer to God, God wants you there because he wants to show you something. As we look here, we see the rehab of Rahab. I shared this. We have pastors getting coming together in thrive groups, and I shared this. I was going to preach this. One of my pastors said, "You know, that's just a rehab of Rahab. The fact that Rahab was just wanting to change. See, she trusted in God's plan. She was ready." It says in verse 10, "For we have heard," and maybe she had heard that time and time again, just said, "For we have heard how the Lord did all these things." And maybe it's just in her life she was ready to do something. And so she saw that opportunity. These men that represented God came in, and she just knew in her heart that she had to do something. So she hid the spies and told them what they needed to do. "You get under this flat right here on top of this roof. You stay right here. Don't move. Don't say anything. They may come up here when they come, because surely they're coming." And she was right. And then they talked to her. It tells them that what we want you to do, it says in verse 12, "Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness." Rahab's talking now. She doesn't know what these men can give her, but she knows she needs some help because she knows these spies represent a big army. They're going to come in and take the town. "Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, and since you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." She's saying, "Please, spies, show mercy. Show forgiveness to us. Help us not be consumed when the soldiers come to destroy Jericho. Please, spies, would you do that?" And she didn't know what they could do. And then the men answered her in verse 14, "Our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours. And it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you." They're saying, "If you do what you say, Miss Rahab, and you don't turn us in." Can you imagine the favor she'd have got with the king if she turned in these two spies? But the spy says, "If you don't turn us in, we'll deal kindly with you." So she went and got some ropes. She lived right there next to the wall side of the city. In verse 15, "Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, and she dwelt on the wall. And she told them, just as they get ready to be lowered down." Verse 16, what a movie this would make. "Get to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterwards, you may go on your way." She said, "I know these guys, the king's men. They're going to look around for a day or two. Then they're going back to the office. They're not going to look around anymore. If you go to the mountains and hide there, stay 3 days, things will calm down. Then you go back." So the men said unto her, verse 17, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless... He's saying, you see what he's saying? He's saying, Rahab, there's a way out. He's saying, Rahab, do you understand that we're going to fix a way whereby you can be changed? Rahab, we're going to fix a way whereby your crooked stick can be made straight. You won't be killed when all the soldiers come. It says in verse 18, unless when we come to the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household into your own home. See what they're saying? The spies are saying, when the soldiers come, if you'll tie this scarlet thread, and maybe some of you older, remember the pastor of First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas, W.A. Criswell. He was famous for preaching a sermon on the scarlet thread through the Bible. And he would start in Genesis and go all the way through the Revelation. And point out the way God talked about redemption from the very beginning to the very end. And how God is going to come back one day on that white horse. He's going to call us home, those that are saved. And here, right here, these two spies are saying to Rahab, there's a way out, Rahab, but you got to do what we say. Now that was pretty important information those two spies were giving out, don't you think? Do you think Rahab was listening to music in the background on her iPod? Do you think she was looking at all kinds of other things? Or do you think she was paying attention? I think she was paying attention. Because these two spies are saying, if you'll do this, Rahab, then there's hope for you. And what you got to do is you, Rahab, what you got to do is go to a scarlet thread, put it on the outside of these bars right here. And you tie that thread. And then you have your mom and your daddy and all the ones that you care about. You have them come into this room. And then when the soldiers come, and they will be forewarned, they'll be told by our leaders not to bother anything that's going on in this room. You'll be safe. I'm glad that day in 2000 or 1975 when God saved me. I'm glad for that day when I said, God, if you are God, forgive me. That's all I knew how to say. I didn't know if I didn't say I believed in the miracles. I didn't say I believed in the Bible. I didn't say I believed in the Baptist faith and messages. I didn't know any of that stuff. I just knew that I needed to change. And I just knew what I had was just a crooked stick. And I just knew somehow, some way, I wanted to have a different life. And I said before God and the pastor that witnessed to me for well over 2 hours. And he finally told me, he said, Randy, you either have to go home or get saved because I'm hungry and I've got to eat. And so what I did was I got down on my knees. I said, I think I want to get saved. And I got down on my knees. And my pastor, Sam, he said, tell God that. Then as a crooked stick that had never gone to church, that all my friends that went to church cursed more than I did. They drank more than I did. I got down on my knees in front of his couch. Now, here's what I said. I said, God, if you are God, save me. And God straightened my stick. Didn't make me perfect. But he forgave me. And he saved me. And Ahab, at this point, is looking for that. See, she's trusting those spies. And the Bible says, you know what gets me so excited right here? Look in verse 21. When they were told, when she was told you need to tie that scarlet thread, well, they'll be gone for 3 days and they got to get 2 days to get back. It's 2 or 3 weeks. I won't even worry about tying this thing down. She said, it says in verse 21, then she said, according to your word, so be it. And she sent them away and they departed. Now look at the next sentence. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window. Oh, listen. You ask Pastor Vince the time he's preached and shared God's word from the pulpit. And God drew him to somebody through the Holy Spirit in the sanctuary listening. And God, and how he just knew that God was dealing with that heart. And when it came invitation time, Pastor Vince just knew that that person was going to come, accept the Lord, to come and get right for God with God. And then all of a sudden, as they're having the invitation, that person just begins to go somewhere else in their mind. Instead of following God, instead of being obedient to God, they just do something else. You see, Rahab here didn't go somewhere else. She didn't say, I've got days, if not weeks. Just as soon as they said that, she went and found her a thread, a cord, and tied it in the window. You see, God speaks to us. We need to react. And God's saying something to you this morning. You don't need to say, well, I'll come back next week, or when I get home and I got more time, when I have a better situation, I'll do something about it. If God's speaking to you this morning, you need to respond to God this morning. And Rahab there, she's being spoken to. And when she did that, God took her from the hall of shame to the hall of fame. We're still talking about Rahab thousands of years later. You understand that? She went from being someone who was a known crooked stick, someone who had a bad testimony, someone that you wouldn't want in your home, to someone now that we're talking about with great affection. You see, God can take you from that and put you in the hall of fame. And God can change a lady of the night into a lady of the light. He can change a guy of the night into a guy of the light. He can change a woman of ill repute into a lustrous repute. And God can change a harlot into a heroine. He can use us this morning. We keep thinking about, boy, maybe you didn't get the family you should have got. we don't have any control over that. We do have control over our future. We do have control now what God's going to do with us. And there's no doubt in my mind that there's some here this morning. God showed me that. There's some folks here this morning that you're needing to change. And God's saying, I want to change. And if you'll respond to that and allow God, then you see, God can do that. That's what God does. You remember the song, and most of you, I believe, remember Gloria Gaither. Now, some of you younger folk may not remember it, but you remember that song, Something Beautiful? Oh, yeah. Something Good. I started to sing this for you, but I won't do that. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But listen, he made something beautiful of my life. And that's what God did. You see, God began to show and to shower, and we see how Rahab's life was changed. You look in chapter 6, just a few chapters later, when Joshua comes into Jericho to take the town. It says to us right there in Joshua chapter 6, verse 23. Bible says, back up to 2, and Joshua said, 22, and Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the women, the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. And they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. So you see in verse 25, Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. You see, why was she spared? Because she did what she was told to do. Obedience. Obedience. And when God changes us, you see, he begins to bless our life. We can fuss sometimes. Boy, it's just not fair where I was born. It's not just not fair how I lived. You can't keep talking about the past. We got to talk about the future. And Rahab, at this very moment, has a new future. Talk about a love story. It's passed down verbally, historically, that one of the two spies was a guy by the name of Salmon. Young fella. And everybody loves a love story. I understand that. We just finished Valentine's. I saw 3 Hallmark movies. I know love stories. My wife enjoyed them, so I enjoyed them too. But here in this moment, tradition tells us that Rahab fell in love with one of the spies. And not only was tradition tell us, but look in the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 5. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Yes, this is the same Rahab. But notice. Boy, Rahab doesn't have harlot after her name. What she has after her name now is the fact that she was Boaz's mother. Can God draw a straight line with a crooked stick? You bet your boots he can. And God can change, and we see how Rahab now is the matriarch and the line to the sinless Savior, and all of these have come up, and Boaz is the one that married Ruth, you remember? And Rahab ended up being the great-great-grandmother of King David, and the descendants all the way down to Jesus. Can God draw a straight line with a crooked stick? Yes, sir. Can he change your future? Yes, sir. Can he give you things you never thought or imagined? Yes, sir. He can change us. You came through those doors here this morning. Maybe you thought, boy, I sure would like a change. The way my life's going right now, I'm not real happy with it. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, he can change your life. If you have accepted, you walked way off, he can bring you back. But he can guide your steps. Some of y'all remember the great evangelist Lester Roloff in Texas. He used to talk about illustration about Dr. Law and Dr. Grace. This man went to see Dr. Law because he was having problems. And he went in to see Dr. Law, and he said, Dr. Law, I've got problems with my hands. I'm taking things that aren't mine. And Dr. Law said, well, son, your problem's not your hands, your problem's your heart. No, you don't understand, Dr. Law. It's not only my hands, but also my feet. I go places I shouldn't go. Son, I'm telling you, it's not your hands, it's not your feet, it's your heart. The patient said, but Dr. Law, my tongue also is giving me trouble. I say things about people I know is not right. And I just talk about things. I don't know why it gives me great joy to run down to other people and be critical. And Dr. Law said, but son, I'm telling you, your problem is not your hands. Your problem is not your feet. Your problem, or your tongue, your problem is your heart. Well, Dr. Law, what can you do about it? I can't do a thing about it, son. I can just tell you that all sin and come short of the glory of God. We're born into sin. We're all crooked sticks. And I can't do anything about it. I can just tell you your need. But Dr. Law, what am I going to do? If you can't help me, who can? He said, well, right across the street, right across the hall here, in this same building, is another doctor. His name is Dr. Grace. And if you go over there and talk with him, he can help you. Well, Dr. Law, do I need to make an appointment? No appointment needed. You just go over there. So the patient gets up and he goes out of this office, closes the door, goes over and gets ready to knock on that door. Just as soon as he got ready to knock, the door opened. And it was a friendly man there. And he says, hello, my name is Dr. Grace. I understand you want to see me. And he said, wow, that was quick. He said, yeah, come on, have a seat. And he said, doctor, I've got a problem. My hands are giving me problems, Dr. Grace, because I pick up things I shouldn't pick up. And I like to steal things. And Dr. Grace said, but son, your problem's not your hands. It's your heart. But Dr. Grace, you don't understand. My feet give me trouble too because I go places I shouldn't go, and before I know it, I'm in places I know is not right. And he said, "But son, your problem is not your hands or your feet. Your problem is your heart." But Dr. Grace, as I was telling Dr. Law over there, that I also get great joy in saying critical things to people. And Dr. Grace said, "Son, I'm just going to tell you, it's not your hands, it's not your feet, it's not your tongue, it's your heart." And the man said, oh, no. Said, I've already gone through this with Dr. Law, and I bet you can't help me either. And Dr. Gray said, oh, but yes, I can help you. He said, how can you help me? He said, well, I can give you a heart transplant. A heart transplant, yes, sir. That looks like it's going to, sounds like it's going to hurt. He said, well, it's going to come at a price, but the price it's going to come with, I paid for on the cross. Well, do I need to make an appointment, Dr. Grace? And he says, no. Over here, lay down right here. And he did, and Dr. Grace went over and just touched him in his chest, and his heart came out, and the man looked, and it was the vilest, blackest, putrid smelling thing you'd ever seen. You set it aside. Then you put him a clean heart in. Give it to him. And then his wounds healed back up. And then he said, Dr. Grace, I see what you're talking about. I'm different now. And those old things are old. And this morning, as we think about that, you see, we'll never know the plan that God's got for us until we go to him and ask for his grace and his forgiveness. We don't go to the law. The law tells us we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the grace tells us that he's died for you. He died for me. The Bible tells us that we just confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us for our sins. And listen to this. Listen to this. You're a crooked stick. You won't draw straight. Listen to this. Not only will he forgive us of our sins, but he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's my word for you today. That's what God had me to come say. See, I wanted to preach about how you need to treat your pastor. The Lord wouldn't let me do that. He said, there's going to be somebody there Sunday morning that's going to need this right here. And I just said, okay. So as we get ready to see how you want to respond, you see, the way you respond to God is immediate if you mean business. It's not to do it tomorrow. It's not, you say, well, I'll call Pastor Vince and ask for an appointment. No, that's not the way it works. If God's burdened your heart, you need to talk with God. And God's placed his pastor here. And I know Brother Vince would love to pray with you. And I know he would love to show you through God's word ways that he can help you. But don't you see, doesn't it get you excited how one moment you got this woman who really doesn't have a whole lot going for her. But she wants to change. And now we're talking about her years, thousands of years later. She's part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that my boys don't have to pay for what I did when I was young, because God forgave me and I got a new family tree. God's dealing with you. We're going to pray. I want to ask Pastor Vince to come up to the front. Since we have the hymn of invitation, you come and you respond. I know he wants to pray with you. If God's talked to you this morning, if God's whispered in your ear, the Holy Spirit's dealt with you, don't put it off, please. Father, I pray right now that you, as only you can, will take control of this situation. God, you can take this feebly preached message of your word. And God, you can use it. I know you can. And I pray, Lord, you would. So God, just give wisdom to all those. Just give conviction. And I just will be careful to praise you and give you thanks and glory for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Vince.